coming to them. Big congratulations to your chief and the staff for the accomplishment. This is quite a process to go through, and an excellent job by the accreditation manager, Deputy Chief Dan Riley, who I found out tonight, this is his last time. Heather will be taking over shortly. She's happy about that honor. She's smiling back there. I do personally know how difficult it is to get accredited. My agency is accredited also, and we've been through it three times. So it's a lot of work for an agency, but it's a lot of benefit for your village and for my city and the rest of the agencies that are accredited. They gave a long report. I won't share the whole report with you, but I'd like just a couple of the summary comments that they gave, that the assessment team. They come through and go through every single policy. And not only do you have to have a policy to cover every standard that there is, you have to have a proof. You have to be able to prove you're doing it, not just say you're doing it. It was a very rigorous process, a three-day on-site assessment. During that assessment, the assessors drew several favorable conclusions about the Pleasant Prairie Police Department. First and foremost, they said, the police department is fortunate to have a highly dedicated, proud, and professional staff. Another one that towards the conclusion said they were professional and presented a positive attitude. They extended excellent cooperation. And there was many more comments on there. I won't spend your whole meeting reading those. I probably could and praise the police department. I think you know how great a police department you have, and this is a sign of how great a police department you have and led by your chief. I would like to read the plaque here, and then I'll present it to your chief. Pleasant Prairie Police Department has fully demonstrated its voluntary commitment to law enforcement excellence by its compliance to a body of standards deemed essential to protection of life, safety, and rights of citizens it serves, and has exemplified the best professional practices in the conduct of its responsibilities, and therefore, it is hereby, upon the recommendation of the members of the Governing Board of the Wisconsin Law Enforcement Accreditation Group, awarded Certificate of Accreditation, effective December 11th, 2017. Is recognized as a Wisconsin-accredited law enforcement agency for a period of 3 years from that date. Congratulations to the department.
Thank you to Chief Russ Jack, who came all the way from Waukesha to present this tonight on behalf of WILIAG. This really just gives me an opportunity to highlight the outstanding work of two individuals in my department, Deputy Chief Dan Riley and Heather Rivera. When Dan came back from the National Academy, one of the benefits of that type of training is sitting down and preparing and setting some goals and where you want to see your department head. And when Dan came back from that training, this was his project. He set that goal. He set all the organization up to accomplish that goal, and that's exactly what they did. I was lucky enough that I got to watch most of it happen. So this is really a great credit to Dan, his loyalty to the department, and to Heather for her professionalism in getting this done. This project does not end here. As Chief Jack mentioned, this is a reaccreditation process in 3 years. So every 3 years we'll be going through this again. And this is really the first step in moving towards that additional professionalism that every agency should look for. So thank you very much to Dan and Heather. They deserve the vast majority of the praise for this.
You know, Dave, believe me, this board and the citizens of this village know what you guys are doing, and they definitely appreciate it, and so do we. It's noticed. I mean, you see the support you get from the village, people, and from this board, and definitely well-deserved. Absolutely. Congratulations to Dan, Heather. Nice going.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you.
Okay, that concludes item four. Moving on to item five, minutes of the meetings. And this is for the special meeting of February 17, 2018. February 22, 2018, presented to board members in written form.
Move approval.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Steve. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. Item 6 is citizens' comments.
No sign-ups.
Anyone wishing to speak under citizens' comments? Hearing none, I'll close citizens' comments. Move on to item 7, administrator's report.
I have nothing to report this evening, Mr. President.
Moving on to item 8, new business. Gene, do you want to take A, B, and C together?
Yes, please.
Motion to take A, B, and C together.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Steve. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item A is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation to consider Ordinance 1808, and this is for the Comprehensive Plan Amendment as it relates to the property located at 109 and 175th Street and the vacant property to the west of said address for proposed expansion. And item B is to receive Planning Commission recommendation and consider Ordinance 1809-1810, and this is for a zoning map amendments as it relates to the property located at 109 and 175th Street and the vacant property to the west of said address for proposed expansion. Item C is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider a certified survey map as it relates to the property located at 109 and 175th Street and the vacant property to the west of said address for proposed expansion. Gene?
Mr. President, members of the board, we have three requests this evening from Tim Lynch, PE of Lynch & Associates, and this is for the Lynch Chevrolet property in Pleasant Prairie located at 109 and 175th Street in Pleasant Prairie. There are three items: the Comprehensive Plan Amendment, Ordinance 18-08, Zoning Map and Text Amendments, Ordinances 1809 and 1810, and Certified Survey Map. I'd like separate actions on them, and the Comprehensive Plan Amendment does require a roll call vote. Specifically, the petitioner is requesting several approvals. They recently purchased 1.3 acres of land to the west of their existing car facility. They are looking to expand their outdoor car display area for an additional 136 cars for the dealership. In addition, they're looking to expand an on-site stormwater retention basin in order to handle additional runoff from the entire site based on this new development. And then they're also looking to do some additional parking to the south of their existing facility. And this is for additional cars as well as for customers and or for employees and other parking. And that would be 116 parking spaces to the south. And then immediately to the west of that, they would be putting in an additional stormwater management basin at that location as well. We've been working with them off and on for, seems like about 6 months or so, working on this project, just because, as you know, that this is an area that does not have a lot of defined stormwater management features. And so any and all stormwater on the site needs to be handled, and it can't be released at a faster rate than is leaving the site currently. So because of the impervious surfaces they are creating, they did need to expand their stormwater basins. There were three wetlands on the property that were field delineated by an assured biologist, and one for sure is an artificial wetland that will be exempted, and we are working with the other two wetland areas as well with the Army Corps of Engineers. As part of their additional project here, they are looking to have a certified survey map approved in order to combine all the properties into one parcel. They would be dedicating some additional stormwater management access drainage maintenance easements over these two additional expansion area basins. And as it came up at the last Plan Commission meeting, they would also like to work with the village to possibly vacate a cross-access easement that is running through the property. Our attorney at this point indicated that we would have to come back with a separate vacation document for that cross-access. As you can see, it comes off of, well, north is to the right, but it would come off of 109th Street, and then it goes through their property towards the north and then to the west. Again, this was put in initially when and before these properties are required by Lynch, and we needed to make sure that there would be direct access over to an adjacent public road. The existing access point that is in front of that vacant property they just acquired is not a commercial access point, and so that access needs to be removed, and so it will be their development that runs through this entire property. So to have a cross-access emergency easement running through the property probably doesn't make sense at this point, But again, they'll need to submit a vacation document to remove that from the CSM. With respect to their access on Highway 50, as you know, that's really intended to be a temporary access. At such time that Highway 50 is widened to the six lanes, then that access on Highway 50 will need to be removed pursuant to a DOT memorandum of understanding, and then their main access from the property will be from the east or from that 109th Avenue once that access road is constructed. With respect to the wetlands on the property, again, there are a couple of wetland areas, one south along 77th Street that will remain on the site, and then the stormwater basin that is declared as an artificial wetland and will receive an exemption. With respect to the comprehensive plan amendment, again, whenever we bring in or incorporate new areas into a development, we want to amend the land use plan to make sure that a couple of things. First, to remove any urban reserve areas. Two, to bring it in as part of this overall development and change the land use to reflect that commercial designation. And third, to make sure that if there are any wetlands that are to remain, that they're reflected on the comprehensive plan. And so that's the purpose of the comprehensive plan amendment. And then finally, with respect to the third item that they're requesting, zoning map and text amendments, again, to incorporate this new land into the property, we are looking to create a PUD, or Plan Unit Development Ordinance, so that this new land as well is incorporated under the same comments, conditions, and site plan approvals as the existing property. And then with respect to the field delineated wetlands, they'll be placed into the C1 PUD, and again, that's at the southern end of the site. And this property is currently zoned residential, the area identified in red. That will be brought into the B2 commercial district, and again, the PUD will be placed over the property. The Plan Commission held a public hearing to cover these matters at their last meeting, and the staff recommends approval, subject to all the comments and conditions as outlined in the staff memorandum. The one thing that we do need to sit down with them and to work with the police chief and the IT director on is expanding their DSIS system in order, digital security imaging system, to make sure their camera system is well defined and can address all of these new areas that they're bringing into their site from a camera perspective, security cameras perspective, and to make sure that these areas are well lit for that camera system. So with that, the staff recommends approval of the three items that have been presented to you this evening, comprehensive land use plan amendments, the zoning map and text amendments, and the certified survey map, all as presented subject to the comments and conditions as outlined in the staff memorandum.
John. Gene, the gentleman that was here that was questioning all kinds of runoff and everything else, is this change going to affect him in any negative way at all?
So I guess I'm going to turn that over to Matt to address it, but his name is Kyle Kennedy, and he's the one that has the long-term option on all of the land south. And his primary concern is he wants to make sure that there's no greater degree of runoff that's coming from this site that would inadvertently or directly feed the wetland areas on his property. He does not want these wetland areas to continue to grow on his property because obviously, he'd like to develop for some purpose.
I couldn't keep up with everything he was asking. So
he has a lot of things going on and a lot of things that he's been trying to work on for the last several years. Hasn't been overly successful with the DNR and the Army Corps of Engineers with respect to being able to get fill permits or the alternatives analysis. He just wants to make sure going forward that there aren't any additional issues or problems or drainage conditions that get created as a result of this development.
Matt? Yeah, just to follow up what Gene said, no, the development doesn't negatively impact Kyle's property more than what's out there kind of today. The area that is draining towards the wetland will continue to drain towards the wetland. It'll be detained with a detention pond, but there is a much, much larger area that drains through that area that has to be dealt with the wetland. So the way this is developed takes that the existing drainage into consideration, drainage patterns.
Okay. Thanks, Matt. I move approval of Ordinance 1808.
Second. Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Further discussion?
I have a question on the ponds. It said that the 3-foot ponds aren't deep enough. and how are they going to be addressed? Said something about a dry pond or making them deeper?
And the existing pond, that, or not the existing, the proposed pond that they're developing is kind of crunched there in the corner, so they're basically going to expand that out a little bit to get a deeper water depth. So normally ponds are about 5 feet deep. Once they get about 3 foot or a little bit shallower, then the aquatic vegetation will start growing off through it. So they're going to try to expand that a little bit better, get a little bit bigger water surface so that doesn't occur.
Generally, when these are properly engineered, we usually benefit the neighbors, and they see an improvement to the situation they've encountered in the past. So these are all engineered improvements, and they should do the job. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
This was a roll call vote. I'm sorry.
Roll call.
John Steinbrink?
Aye.
Steve Komarkwit?
Aye.
Dave Clemish?
Aye.
Mike Serpy?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Move approval of Ordinance 1809 and 10.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Further discussion on 1809 or 1810? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries.
Move approval of the certified survey map.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Mike. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? So carries. And that completes items A, B, and C. And congratulations, gentlemen. And let's keep those tires clean now.
Thanks for your attention.
That brings us to item D. And item D is to receive the Planning Commission recommendation and consider a certified survey map to subdivide property located at 3840 107th Street into three parcels.
Thank you. Mr. President, members of the board, this is the request of David and Elizabeth Chance, and they are requesting a certified survey map to subdivide their property into three parcels. Their primary parcel is located at 3840 107th Street, and their tax parcel is 924-122-252-0495. The property is currently zoned R4, Urban Single Family Residential District, and all lots need to have a minimum of 90 feet of frontage and 15,000 square feet in area. Their property is located at that northeast corner of 107th Street and County Trunk Highway EZ or 39th Avenue in the village. Lot 1 is proposed to be 72,450 square feet with 229 feet of frontage on 107th Street and 316 feet of frontage on 39th Avenue. Lot 1 has an existing home with direct driveway access to 107th Street. No direct driveway access to the county is allowed. Lots 2 and 3 are proposed to both be 30,086 square feet with over 95 feet of frontage on 107th Street. Municipal sewer and water mains and their laterals are available to service the new lots on 107th Street. Stormwater grading and drainage plans were reviewed and approved by the Village Engineering Department to handle the stormwater on these three lots. And dedicated public stormwater drainage access and maintenance easements have also been dedicated to the Village. The petitioner will be responsible for installing the existing drainage swales along the north property lines in the easement areas. The grading work will be completed and inspected by the village. The owners of all of the lots will, respectively, will be responsible for maintaining their rear drainage swales and specifically for the grading when the lots are developed pursuant to this grading plan. The proposed land division conforms with the minimum regulations of the R4 zoning district, and it meets the land division and development control ordinance requirements of the village. The Plan Commission at their last meeting recommended approval of the certified survey map subject to the comments and conditions as outlined, and the staff also recommends approval as presented subject to those conditions.
I move to approve certified survey map.
Second.
Motion by Steve, second by Dave. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us on to item E, and item E is to consider the intergovernmental agreement between the Village of Salem Lakes and the Village of Pleasant Prairie relating to the Village of Pleasant Prairie providing real and personal property assessment services for the years 2019 through 2020. 24.
Can we do E, F, and G, John?
Well, they're separate agreements, so we can do them all if you'd like, Rocco.
That'd be a good idea.
Same terms?
Yep. Well, good. Well, slightly different.
Motion to take E, F, and G together.
Second.
Motion by Steve, second by Dave. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Item F, consider the intergovernmental agreement between the Town of Randall and the Village of Pleasant Prairie relating to the Village of Pleasant Prairie providing real and personal for property assessment services for the years 2019 through 2024. And G is to consider the intergovernmental agreement between Town of Brighton and the Village of Pleasant Prairie relating to the Village of Pleasant Prairie providing real and personal property assessment services. This is for the years 2019 through 2025. Different date on one of these, Rocco?
That's correct.
How come that one's different?
For revaluation timing.
Okay.
So what we have, good evening, Rocco Vita, Village Assessor. So this, as many are aware, at one time, Kenosha County was assessed using a county assessor office. After 23 years, that office was disbanded during 1995, and all the communities had to then find another way to assess property. The city of Kenosha created their own office. Everybody else used contractors. The Village of Pleasant Prairie, in a somewhat, at the time, novel approach, worked together with a number of other communities in Kenosha County to put together a cost-saving mechanism called the Assessment Consortium. So a group of communities came together and worked proactively to create a department in the Village of Pleasant Prairie of professional appraisers, and we then performed the assessment services for those communities in Kenosha County. It's been very successful in reducing the cost, the overall cost of the service, while still maintaining a very high-quality service. The people we use are from the county. They're knowledgeable of what creates value in the county, and we're able to leverage a group of people to perform the service for a number of communities. So right now, before you are the agreements for the Town of Randall, the Village of Salem Lakes, which is a new community, the combination of the Village of Silver Lake and the Town of Salem Lakes, which we had done in the past, and the Town of Brighton. In the past, when we had initially the Town of Wheaton, the Town of Brighton, the Town of Salem, and the Town of Randall, and the Village of Twin Lakes, we looked at the amount of work that we needed to do on an annual basis, and how do we accomplish that considering the scope of what we needed to do and the staff we had. And based on parcel count and the request for revaluations, we performed revaluations for Twin Lakes and Pleasant Prairie every 2 years on the even years. And then for the towns, we performed revaluations for Wheatland, Brighton, Salem, and Randall every 2 years on the odd years. Over time, some communities left, and we attained other communities so that prior to the merge of Salem and Silver Lake, we were performing work for Brighton, Silver Lake, Salem, and the Town of Randall. When it came time to look at the agreements, I again decided how best to structure the revaluation process. And so right now we're going to put Salem Lakes reval in 1 year, Pleasant Prairie in another year. Salem Lakes, with the combination of Silver Lake, is almost the size of Pleasant Prairie. And then we have Brighton, and then we have Randall. So when we put Pleasant Prairie and Brighton together, and Randall and Salem Lakes together, we almost have a very even split of work and two communities every 2 years. And in order to accomplish that, I had to move Brighton from an agreement that said the revaluations would occur in the odd years to occurring in the even years, because I don't want to be in a position. The agreement indicates that the property, the municipalities decide whether they want to continue being in the consortium 1 year ahead of the fact. So I don't want to be in a position for one of them to opt out of the consortium and then have us do a revaluation for them that final year. So simply said, I just moved Brighton to be concurrent with Pleasant Prairie on a revaluation basis and structured this time a 7-year agreement, and the next time they're renewed, they would be renewed on a six-year agreement. Under Wisconsin law 66.0301, intergovernmental agreements like this for services can be up to 10 years long. Otherwise, typically contracts for towns are at a maximum of 3 years. But because we're intergovernmental, we can go 10 years. The towns and the municipalities still like our service. They still appreciate what we do. They have a lot of respect for my staff and for the product that we provide for them. Not every community now has opted to have a revaluation every year outside of Salem Lakes, and Pleasant Prairie. The other communities have them on a somewhat less frequent basis, maybe instead of 2 years, maybe over 4 years or 6 years, depending on their market and their appetite. That's it. If you have any questions.
In the contract, it talked about 2 hours per week in each of these municipalities. Is that what we're currently doing?
That's correct. We have office hours for 2 hours each week in each of the municipalities.
Is that somebody from your staff that goes out there? Mm-hmm. Are they all on the same day?
No. For instance, on Wednesdays, I'm in the afternoon. I'm in the town of Brighton. On Wednesdays, Walter's in the village of Salem Lakes. And on Mondays, he's in the town of Randall. And a lot of time is spent here in Pleasant Prairie.
And do people from out there come here? Because I know we're open for them as well.
They do occasionally. I think it's less frequent. They're meeting us more in the field or in the offices, and they're calling us more than actually coming into the office. With technology, they don't have to come and see the record. We can email the record to them. We also provide the information to Kenosha County, which publishes on their website. You can see on their interactive mapping and their public information site the information that we contain. So. Okay. There's the opportunity to provide them the information without them coming here.
You know, Rocco, you and your staff have an excellent reputation as far as serving the people and assessing. And yesterday in the Kenosha News, I got a little upset with the editorial page from a member of the Wisconsin Manufacturers Association. And if you read that thing, it put a thought in people's minds that maybe our assessors are not really honest people. And I took a serious offense to that. And I'm thinking, the Wisconsin Manufacturers Association are in the back pockets of the dark store problem, feeding the very people that are supposed to represent us, and they've refused to do so. So I took offense to that. I just want to let you know that we don't look at you and your staff in the same way, and I hope there's an answer to that editorial coming. I really do.
Well, I appreciate your comments about my staff, and I will tell you that Wisconsin Manufacturing Commerce is feeling the pressure from municipalities throughout the state who want something changed. But like any group, especially their lawyers, they changed the argument. The dark store initiative wasn't brought out by any assessor in Wisconsin. It was initiated by municipalities in the Fox Valley who had spent a lot of resources trying to enact economic development that, and the property owners came and turned around and then wanted to reduce the assessed value to pay less in property tax after the community spent a lot of money to get them in there. They went to the League of Municipalities and asked the League of Municipalities attempt to do something to address the Walgreens decision and the dark store method of valuing properties. It's difficult for Wisconsin Manufacturing Commerce to lash back at the municipalities because they're providing economic development, but it's very easy to lash out at assessors because nobody likes the municipal assessor. They're easy to vilify. And for the most part in Wisconsin, you have a state that only has, at best, 36 municipal assessors. Out of 1,852 communities, almost every assessor is contract service. And there's a very low level of efficiency, well, maybe a lot of efficiency, but very low level of service in most of these communities. So a lot of people have negative thoughts regarding their assessor because regardless of who spends tax money, who collects the tax money, every time somebody calls, everybody in every village office sends them to the assessor. And the assessor is simply an appraiser. So you have an appraiser trying to defend the spending of others. You have the appraiser trying to defend a lot of decisions made by other people. But there is no other mechanism. You cannot call the school district. You cannot call the county. You can't call the vocational about their about the money they spend. You can go to their meetings, but it's not very helpful. But you can call and you can rant at the assessor. So many, many people are always upset with the municipal assessor because that's where they believe the tax issue lies.
Thank you, Rocco. And I think judging from the service the village has received from you and your people, these other communities should be very happy. Contract assessing doesn't give the same quality of service as a consortium gives to the communities. And as we've touched on, the dark store and Walgreen issue is a serious issue, which is going to greatly affect a lot of communities. And you've been able to enlighten not only us, but state officials and the League of Municipalities and others onto what it is, how to work with it, how it's going to affect us. And unfortunately, we maybe know too much. And it's very disheartening when Madison refuses to act on behalf of the citizens of the state and relies mostly leaning toward corporate and at the expense of the taxpayers. But as a village resident, and I think all of us up here can say we're very pleased with the job you've done and you continue to do. And it's going to be our job to inform the public and make sure they understand what's really going on out there. So, I mean, a lot of this cheap talk from outside groups is not really honest. And when higher taxes come out to these folks in the residential and the small businesses, we're able to say why. And hopefully get this resolved before that does hit. But what we've been told lately, it's going to be a long road and a long battle. So thank you.
Thank you.
I move approval of the agreement between the Village of Salem Lakes and the Village of Pleasant Prairie.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Move approval of the agreement between Village of Pleasant Prairie and the Town of Randall.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Mike. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion carries.
Move approval of the agreement between Town of Brighton and the Village of Pleasant Prairie.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. That concludes E, F, and G. We'll move on to item H. Consider the approval. You don't want to move on? Item H is to consider approval of the project term sheet with Riverview Group LLC, and it's for the State Line 94 Corporate Park project.
Mr. President, members of the board, the village staff and the developer are seeking a term sheet support and approval this evening, and this is for specifically for a term sheet for the State Line 94 Corporate Park development, formerly known as the Riverview Corporate Park. The ownership of the land is to be developed under the control of the Riverview Group LLC. Entities owned by Clayco and Venture One have an ownership interest in and are the managing partners of the Riverview Group LLC. The developer will be Clayco Venture One Development Services LLC. Venture One Real Estate LLC, as you know, is a Chicago-based national commercial real estate company that acquires, develops, leases, and manages industrial and office properties on its own behalf and on behalf of its investment partners. Venture One also provides real estate advisory services to buyers and sellers of investment properties and portfolios on a national market. The principals are utilizing their combined 80 years of real estate experience and personal relationships with owners, contractors, and brokers to facilitate a team approach to meet their development and acquisition objectives. Clayco has been involved in the design, build, development of more than 5,000 acres of land and over 100 million square feet of commercial, industrial real estate, residential, mixed-use, and hospitality product exceeding $64 billion in value. The project approach, Clayco Venture One Development Services proposes to develop the property in three phases. actually move it to that slide. Three phases collectively planned at full build-out to comprise up to 1,875,950 square feet of industrial facilities. Phase one is planned to include a single building on the southernmost parcel along County Highway ML. Phase two is currently planned to include two buildings on the middle parcel on the east frontage road. And phase three is currently planned to include two buildings on the northernmost parcel off of 116th Avenue. The sequencing of the phases and the configuration and the exact sizes of the buildings could change depending on market conditions as the park continues to develop. For the purposes of our presentation this evening, the build-out schedule assumes a start of construction for phase one in 2018, with subsequent buildings commencing approximately every 18 months thereafter and resulting in full build-out in approximately 2023. The schedule could also shift slightly depending on market conditions. The sites are not currently served by utilities, and the surrounding roadwork network will need improvements to be able to accommodate the new buildings and to serve the needs of the occupants. In addition, the land is currently farmland with fairly significant topography and drainage characteristics, so there'll be substantial on-site grading and stormwater detention work required to create the buildable pads able to accommodate the individual structures, truck courts, and the parking lots. Collectively, these infrastructure costs are proposed to be financed via a developer-sponsored pay-as-you-go or pay-go TID, whereby tax increment would be reimbursed back to the developer for the infrastructure costs over time. Just going back briefly to the slide, this is the slide or the map that identifies the boundaries of the proposed TID that we're looking to create, and this would be identified as TID number 7. This is approximately 308 acres in area. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Kathy, and then she will continue with the term sheet details.
Okay, this project is located generally between 110th and 122nd Street and east of the frontage road in Pleasant Prairie. And as Jean said, is referred to as State Line 94 Corporate Park. The project has five buildings, which is phased in between 2018 and 2023. With the exception of a regional water line adjacent to the west side of Pleasant Prairie Premium Outlets and extending to the southern property line limit, the developer will pay all the improvements within TID District Number 7 in connection with the project as detailed on the table on page 2. So page 2 gives you the costs that we're looking at or was submitted by the developer that we are recommending to be put in the TID. You have road improvements of a little over $4.6 million. You have sanitary sewer of $4.5 million. You have proposed off-site. Okay, so we have special assessments totaling $1.7 million, which is the proposed improvement, the roundabout and the lift station assessments. We have water improvements of $1.8 million, which shows our contribution to the 16-inch regional line. And then we also have site work, grading, and stormwater on the sites that we build. It is a three-phase project with most of the cost happening, $9.9 million in the phase one, and with a total project cost of almost $20 million. There's other funding sources, which we will work with the developer to obtain these funds, but they're not guaranteed to be received. It includes a county contribution for ML and also T grants totaling up to $3 million, depending on what type of industry goes into these buildings. A TID life is normally 20 years, with extensions of 3 years, but the developer has agreed not to request an extension, so we're looking at just a 20-year TID. Usually you have 15 years to expend. We are offering, and the developer has agreed to a 10-year, so they have till 2028 to incur the development cost to be reimbursed by the TID. So this is all developer funded. On page number, well, one of the exhibits in here shows actual cash flow of the bonds, showing the increments. It's exhibit number B. It shows the changes that are taking place, what we're expecting to be developed, and then the value of these, and the year that we expect to collect that. So based on being all developer funding, whatever comes in will go out for the next 20 years, unless it pays off quicker than that. We also have an option in this term sheet that if at a certain point we want to buy them out, so we're not paying the higher interest of 7% to the developer, we can do that. Based on not receiving any of those alternate revenue sources I talked about, the T grant and the ML contribution, if you look at the bottom of Exhibit B, you're looking at revenue bonds still being $16.9 million. This is very conservative. There's no inflationary or into the tax rates that much, and there's also no revenue sources other than, well, just us contributing the water main. So this is all on the developer. If things go well and they get additional revenue sources, we might be able to cash out earlier, but right now it looks like 20 years on this project. So you have, Gene did all the building information, and we had the boundaries. This is step one of the whole TID creation process. We've been working with the developers for 3 months on this current funding source for them. This is the M5 location, and they agreed to keep the M5. And we're recommending approval of this term sheet so we can continue on creating TID number 7 so that they can start construction hopefully this summer.
And we do have 3 representatives here for the developer, and I'm not sure if Jeff Redicko or Kevin McKenna want to add anything in addition from the developer's perspective, but they're here in the audience as well if you have any additional questions for them as well.
When can we see grading start?
Just give us your names and addresses for the record then.
Jeff Redickel with Venture One, heading up development for the company. I actually live at 1316 40th Court, Kenosha.
And I'm Kevin McKenna with Clayco. I'm one of the shareholders and the executive vice president. So to answer your question, we are being aggressive, and everyone in the village has been fabulous to work with these last 3 months because we feel we have 3 real opportunities in this park. 2 of them could start this year. M5 manufacturing, good businesses to bring here. We can't really say who they are right now because they're under all kinds of different code names. But I will tell you that we feel pretty comfortable with one of them. That if we get this going, we will be grading in the summer.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, us too. Yeah, it's been close to 4 years, but we appreciate all the help.
Any other questions for the gentleman? If not, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Move approval of the project term sheet with Riverview Group.
Second.
Motion by Dave, second by Steve. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? So carries. Brings us to item I, consider the Beverly Woods Stormwater Improvements Design Services Agreement.
Mr. President, members of the board, this is a professional design service agreement with Cedar Corporation out of Cedarburg for the looking into the Beverly Woods Stormwater Improvements area. The service agreement is to provide surveying, drainage analysis, and design and preparation of construction documents for any stormwater improvements that are needed in the Beverly Woods subdivision. As you may recall, there was a petition to repave the roads in Beverly Woods, and this would be kind of one of the first steps that needs to occur before the roads are repaved, is to go through, take a look at the subdivision. We do know that there is one storm sewer line that needs to be built through there. It was actually previously preliminary design back in the early 2000s, as well as we'll go off and take a look at all the other ditches and existing storm sewers that are out there to see if they need to be replaced, if they need new lines to them, or if ditches need to be re-ditched. This is the service agreement is for time and materials up to $40,000. We recommend approval. Once the contract is approved, village staff plans to go out to the subdivision, start looking at it since the snow's melted, get an idea of what areas need to be surveyed, and go from there as far as designing the stormwater improvements.
Matt, is that going to be an accessible project from the entire area?
The assessment of the area, I guess I'm going to leave that as to be discussed. There are existing storm sewers out there, so depending on what the improvements end up being, will dictate, I guess, what kind of assessments are levied.
Have we got a commitment from the city on water line replacements yet?
I'll leave that to John to answer. He's been coordinating with the city on that.
John Steinberg, Director of Public Works. I talked with Ed St. Peter, the Director of Water over at City Kenosha, and he did give me a commitment to the same year that we pave in the spring or that early winter, they will relay the water mains and we'll come right behind them and pave. Very similar to what we did in the Midwest Highlands this past year, and it worked out very well. So we do have a commitment from the City of Kenosha to take care of the water issues the same year that we do the paving. So the water will happen, and I don't have a year yet when it's going to happen. The water has to get redone. The sewer has to get relined. The storm sewer has to get completed yet. So there'll be some duration and time yet before it all gets completed, but it is all on track to be done.
Within 5 years, John?
I would say that that's a safe assumption.
Okay. On the map, there's an existing dry detention facility south of 85th. Is that where everything currently drains for that neighborhood?
That's correct. Beverly Woods will be draining to that existing dry detention facility. The storm sewers drain there. And you may recall on the map, I mean, this I forgot the individual's name, but the Bucko residents actually live out there. The new storm sewer would be extended out there to fix that issue as well.
And then when there's a water event, how does that dry detention facility drain out?
There are storm sewers that are called outlet pipes for the basin. So it's only dry in the sense that when water comes in, it'll fill up, get wet, but then it dries dry. There is no wet pool, right. Water pool in the bottom of the pond.
Okay.
I move approval of the design services.
Second.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Brings us to item 9, Village Board comments.
I want to follow up on the law enforcement accreditation group. I talked to residents and officers in the surrounding communities, and they keep talking about the Pleasant Prairie Police Department and the standard that we set, the policies that are in place that keep the officers and staff safe, policies that keep the citizens safe are the envy of people I've talked to in neighboring areas. And one thing that keeps coming up is the voluntary, the neighborhood cameras. People can opt in if they want. And as whenever I explain that to people, it's such a seemingly simple thing, but it's innovative, and it works because of the good nature, the good relationship that the police department has with our community. So I'm not sure if that specific initiative was in the approval or in the award that you're in, but that's paying dividends everywhere, and I'm always encouraging other communities to do it, and they don't always get it done because they don't have the forward way of thinking that you and your team have put together. So kudos on that.
For the board comments.
Could we adjourn?
If you so wish.
I so wish.
Motion by Mike, second by Steve. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.